verse 10 on page 1046. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. Now Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and just then there appeared a woman with a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. She was bent over and was quite unable to stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." When he laid his hands on her, immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. But the leader of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, kept saying to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be cured, and not on the Sabbath day." But the Lord answered him and said, "You hypocrites! Does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to give it water? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 long years, be set free from this bondage on the Sabbath day?" When he said this, all his opponents were put to shame, and the entire crowd was rejoicing at all the wonderful things that he was doing. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. And so may I speak in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please do sit down. She'd gotten used to looking at people out of the corner of her eye by looking upwards and sideways. After 18 years, she could hardly remember any other way of seeing the world. On this particular Sabbath, there was a special excitement at the synagogue where she regularly went to worship. A Galilean preacher and prophet, Jesus of Nazareth, had arrived in town and would be teaching there. She and the others in town had heard reports about Jesus, how he talked about God's reign arriving soon, and how he healed sick people. She wasn't sure how many of the rumors to believe. She was trying not to get her hopes up. Her life already had too many disappointments to count. When she entered the synagogue, the place was abuzz. As Jesus began to teach, however, the room was hushed. Moments later, his words turned from teaching to invitation. He had caught her eye. No mean feat, given that he had to lean over and incline his head to do so. "Come here," he said. She slowly made her way to the front of the assembly. What happened next amazed the whole congregation. "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." When this man Jesus spoke those words and put his hands on her broken, bent body, she felt power surge through her. Without hesitation, she straightened her once crooked back, stood tall, and praised her God. "Oh, but listen, can the leader of the synagogue hear himself? Has he any idea what he sounds like?" You can feel the silence that ripples out of the crowd as their religious leader tries to persuade them that what they have seen is wrong and offensive to God. He keeps saying to one person after another, "Surely you can see there are other days for healing." He keeps waiting for nods of support, for expressions of anger against Jesus, but he doesn't get them. The crowd know what they have seen and whose side they are on. This crowd have seen the woman coming to worship, shuffling painfully to do her duty, bent over as she is. They have seen Jesus spotting the woman, something that the leaders have failed to do for years. They know that what happens is entirely on Jesus' initiative. There is no indication that the woman has come looking for Jesus or for healing. It is he who calls her. The crowd hear Jesus' words. He doesn't talk of healing. Instead, he says, "You are free." They see the woman straighten up as though he has literally freed her, lifting a great weight off her back or undoing chains that had kept her bent over for all these years. And the woman's response is instant. She bursts out into praise of God. Oh yeah, the crowd know without any shadow of doubt what they have seen is the presence of God there in the synagogue, freely offered to a seemingly unimportant woman. And it gives them all hope. Healing is the starting point of this story. Whilst it's a story of controversy between Jesus and the synagogue leader, at its core is a healing that demonstrates Jesus' power and his compassion. We can hear the compassionate tone in Jesus' defense for healing on the Sabbath when he argues, if compassion is shown to one's animals on the Sabbath by providing them water, ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 long years, be set free from bondage on the Sabbath day? Jesus gives this woman a name, the daughter of Abraham. And this name stresses the woman's membership in the covenanted Jewish community. According to the passage, Jesus offers the woman healing, not salvation from an oppressive socio-religious system. So in all likelihood, the woman was cared for by her Jewish community of faith, the synagogue of which she was a part, for she was there after all. Jesus' response to the religious leader is not a rejection of the Torah rulings about the Sabbath. Instead, he argues about legitimate allowances of restricted kinds of work on the Sabbath. And what better day to heal, to bring freedom, than on the Sabbath day? This is not a debate about scriptural interpretation. It's an instance of God's kingdom breaking into the present world. And we can see this when Jesus goes on, if you read on verse 18 in Luke's gospel, where he explains that the kingdom of God is like a tiny mustard seed that grows into a tree for sheltering birds, or like yeast that leavens bread for provision and fellowship. Note the similarities to the bent over woman. Something seemingly small and insignificant becomes, with God's loving and transforming power, a vessel to further God's kingdom. Jesus sees and cherishes what others might overlook. While being differently abled is sometimes experienced as brokenness, it may also be experienced as something to be honored and celebrated. So Jesus teaches that suffering does not imply sinfulness. For Jesus, all are known and loved by God. And he wants all to know and love God in return. This whole event not only defines Jesus' healing mission, but also fosters a sense of communal vision and recognition of neglected daughters and sons of Abraham. It calls into account the role and function of religious traditions, then and now. Claims about what should be practiced in worship and who is allowed within the walls of our churches and religious communities. Special religious practices may become hindrances to inclusion. And we must recognize that what ideas we hold dear may disallow full participation from others. And Jesus couldn't be clearer or more consistent on this point. He's no Sabbath breaker. He operates well within Jewish tradition of the day. But he's also not one to allow the tradition to exclude people from access to the community, and so the potential for their healing. And many in the crowd agree. Jesus wants us all to have life in all its fullness and sets out to free us from everything that holds us captive, not only sickness, but also human attitude and judgments which imprison or constrict us. And so the question is, what kind of church community do we want to be? Do religious traditions help us to become the kind of community we want, or do they hinder our desires? Do they hinder the neglected daughter or son of Abraham in our day from joining us in this place of worship? From this reading, may we take away that the whole point of the Sabbath, which is both a gift and a command from God, is to change our daily focus. Without a day on which we remember what we are for and who our God is, we can simply get into the habit of thinking only for ourselves and our own needs. We need to see the Sabbath as a day that turns us back to God, and so away from ourselves and ultimately toward others. And the Sabbath doesn't have to be a Sunday. The Sabbath can be any day of the week, one day out of seven, where we look to God, we give him thanks and praise, and we listen to God's word to us, so that we may not hinder others or ourselves into them coming in contact with Jesus Christ. Although we don't hear about the woman who is being healed at the end of the gospel passage, the praise she offers to God fires up the crowd's rejoicing. And these are responses not only to God, but also to God's work in Jesus, the one who brings the reign of God in healing power to those who need it most. Psalm 103 is a hymn of thanksgiving. Words of quiet despair transformed into words of thankful praise as the singer of the psalm brings to mind all of God's benefits through his love for us. The psalmist also recognizes that while God is not a God of retribution, we as his children are called upon to respond to and embrace his gracious mercy, and by doing so, uphold our human responsibilities of showing and sharing his steadfast love, so building up sacred relationships between God and God's people. So may we praise the Lord, and all that is within us praise his holy name, never forgetting his benefits, his forgiving of our sins, his healing of our infirmities, and his crowning us with mercy and loving kindness. For the Lord is full of compassion and of great goodness for each and every one, for all. And in so doing, may we not stand in the way for others to know and praise the Lord, so that they may receive the riches of his love and grace through the meeting of Jesus Christ as Saviour. Amen. So let us stand to affirm our faith.